Good morning, everyone. We are going to get started. Let me turn this volume down a little bit. Today, we're going to be talking all about, let me make sure I got this. I think it's about the scale. I wanted to close out the 2-pound takedown with all of you with talking about the scale and just like, how do we conquer it? How do we separate some of our thoughts from it? How do we, you know, one of the things I strongly believe is that we have a relationship with the scale. We have, so relationships are things that exist in your mind. So if you've never taken a relationships course or you haven't heard me speak about relationships, one of the important things to remember is that with our weight, with the scale, other people, our body, our self-concept, we have a relationship with it. And a lot of people mistake the relationship is like the actions. It's what people say or what they do or what they don't do. That is not the relationship. The relationship cannot happen and cannot exist until you've had a thought about it. So when someone says something, when the scale shows you a number, when you look at the reflection in your body, we have relationships with all kinds of things. Basically, like you have a relationship with yourself in terms of when you make mistakes. So let's say you overeat. You have a relationship with the version of you that still overeats. So understanding that relationships are always something that we think and that the relationship is the thoughts gives you the power to create the kind of relationships that you want in your life. It gives you the power to get rid of the relationships you don't want in your life. Like when you really understand that I'm no longer dependent upon the scale saying something, somebody saying something, something happening in the world, when I don't have to rely on that in order for me to feel good or for me to do the things I want to do, then I have the power to know that if it's all me, then I get to pick my course. I get to pick who I want to be, how I want to show up, how I want to feel, the things that I want to do in this life. And I just think that that's very powerful. And one of the things I wanted to kick off today with, because a lot of people don't teach that relationships, I mean, if you think about the world, we're not taught that relationships are happening in our own brain. It's just like, I've had relationships in my life where the other person did not like me very much, but I wanted to be liked. And in my mind, like the relationship was very different than them. Like they didn't notice me. They probably like thought that like they probably had a lot of thoughts about my body and stuff like that. But I was always imagining like, well, we could have an amazing relationship. I think they're funny. Like I would try to figure out how to be around them because my thoughts about them, I was having a very different relationship with them than they were having with me. We do the same thing with our children. Just like Logan is a good example. You know, I've in his mind, like, you know, like when we talk about our relationship and stuff, he thinks of me as, you know, his inspirational mama. He tells me things about, you know, I'm just, like he was telling me the other day, he said, you're just one of my biggest inspirations. He said, because, you know, for a long time, I didn't know if I'd ever be successful. And he's like, mama, you had no reason to be successful. I've heard you tell your story. You know, if you can do the things that you've done, that means that I have hope. And so like, he thinks of me as like that way. You go inside of my thought bubble at times, it's, we have nothing in common. I could have done so much better with him. Like in my mind, our relationship is very broken and needs rebuilding and is a struggle and stuff. And to him, the relationship is very aspirational, very inspirational, all of those things. So it just goes to show you that in your mind, you're creating the relationship. This is not to say that, you know, if somebody is calling you names or if you're married to an alcoholic or someone's beating you or something along those lines, the relationship is still in your brain. I think what a lot of us do is we don't realize like not every relationship inside your brain has to feel amazing. It's not to be dismissive. It's one of those things where we want to think about, let's say that you're married to an alcoholic or you're married to someone that beats you. Like the relationship is still in your brain. Many women who get in, who are in those situations, the relationship in their mind needs work. I can't do any better. I deserve this. Like if you think about the thoughts that are in there, it's still, they're very disempowering thoughts. So I just wanted to start that off today because for y'all, when it comes to your body and when it comes to your weight loss, the relationship that you have with the scale is going to be really important. And uncovering the one that you have and understanding it and knowing the scale does not make me feel bad. The scale does not even make me feel good. It doesn't keep, like, I want you to think about the kind of thoughts that we have about it. So if you want to post inside of the chat, you can, but there are a lot of thoughts that we have about our numbers. Like, and these are the thought errors that a lot of us have. It keeps me on track. So a lot of you think when I weigh in, that keeps me on track. That is not what keeps you on track. When you weigh in, you now have a fact in the world. And that fact is going to generate a thought in your brain. So I want to show it to you and how it works in the think, feel, do cycle. Let's say during the 2 pound takedown challenge, you said you were going to lose a pound a week and you ended up losing 4 pounds this month. So we'll put down 4 pounds. When you weigh in, that's going to give you a thought. And so for some of you, that thought might be, I did it. And so when you think, I did it, you feel good. And if you're feeling really good about yourself, your due line probably starts becoming level up next month. Look for my opportunities. Assess on my data. Like, you know, go back through what I learned this month. Put on repeat the things that were super simple, that were fun, that I enjoyed. Pull out and look at the things that weren't so fun and make a decision. Can I make those things more fun? Can I make those things better? Or are those things I don't want to be doing and I need to come up with different things to do this month so that I can keep this going? So some people will set a goal and lose 1 pound a week. They will lose 4 pounds. And here's how we know that there's always a relationship with our numbers. Some people will think it should have been more. Some people will think I got lucky. Some of you will actually have met your goal this month and will think something like, well, it's going to be harder because the holidays are coming. And that's probably one of the biggest ones you guys are probably going to run into. And that is why we have after camp. So for all of you who are coming to camp, yay you, because everything that we are teaching you on camp weekend, which is, I cannot believe it, today is Wednesday. A week from today, I'll be headed to the hotel to spend 4 or 5 days teaching and doing all the things. So for those of you who are coming, it's going to be a great kickoff for that last 90 days of the year for you to be able to go through. We're going to teach you all about people pleasing, because I think one of the biggest things that happens during the holidays is our people pleasing tendencies and our other people, like worrying about what other people think. Those things come up big time. So for all of you who are coming to camp, you are, there's just so much that this camp's going to help everybody with through the holidays. It's unreal. I mean, if you think about, we're going to do live urges. We're going to be talking about our past. A lot of you have some things around food and stuff from your past that you need to put to bed before you go into all these holiday celebrations. So, but then when we come back from camp, the entire membership will be spending October, November, and December handling the holidays. We are going to be helping you with all your shit that comes up during the holidays. We're going to have a call on spending money. You know, for a lot of you who have, like, you need some coaching on, like, on your money spending and stuff. And if you're spending too much money on Christmas trying to please people, worried about what other people think, guess what we do? Every time we spend the money, then we feel guilty. Well, then we go and eat to escape the guilt or the worry that we're spending too much money. We're going to do a grief call because a lot of you have lost significant people in your life throughout COVID, the holidays, and it can be a tough time. So we want to do a call around, you know, grieving and what is it going to be like for that first holiday and, you know, going back and so-and-so's not there, traditions changing, things like that. So we're doing a lot of work throughout October, November, and December on the holidays. So for some of you who met your goal and your thought is the holidays are going to make it harder, guess what we feel? We immediately feel disempowered. And you may think of like other things like shitty, terrible, whatever, but I want you to think about at the essence of that feeling is I'm disempowered. And when we feel disempowered, when we have success, when we meet our goals or don't meet our goals, but when you try to go into the next month from a place of, oh, it's going to be harder, then the due line shifts. We start thinking about like, well, we need to create plans that'll keep us on track. Plans don't keep you on track. You miss the point. Your thoughts keep you on track. We also start envisioning like all the hard times. Like I want you to think about if you feel disempowered about the holidays, the next thing you know, you're looking out over the course of the landscape of the next 3 months, and you're thinking about everything that'll make it harder. Your brain is visualizing it. And when your brain does that, guess what it also does? It starts seeing you failing. It doesn't problem solve. It's not coming up with solutions. It's not even thinking, it's not as hard as I'm thinking it is. There will just be times there will be candy, and there will be thoughts that come along with candy. There will be thoughts that come along with food, and my job is to know them. I mean, at the core of weight loss that I teach you, all of you have the power to do it. The only thing that's required to lose weight is to notice when you're having a thought that doesn't help you, say no to food that you don't need. Everybody has that skill, and that's all of module 2 and no BS. All I'm doing is teaching you, do you know why you overeat? Because you have a thought. Do you know why? Like you look at the holidays and I'm automatically like you get tense because you have a thought about the holidays. Most of weight loss is going to just come down to you being aware of like, oh, here I am having an old shitty right now. You don't need to change it. Sorry, I got a hair in my mouth. You don't have to change the old shitty. You don't have to do anything with it. But even like in this one, when we look at this think, feel, do cycle, if you think, the holidays are going to make it hard for me. Even if you can't get to right now, like I've got all the power I need in order to have a successful holiday or no BS is going to help me. Thank God, whatever you want to think. But if you just thought my brain is making the holidays seem hard right now, what else could I think? Or my brain thinks the holidays are hard, and that's okay. That thought right there gets you out of being disempowered. It puts you into empowerment. So for a lot of you, what I want you to consider is when we're thinking about our thoughts, when we're thinking about changing things, you do not need a magic thought. You do not need to go in a 180. What you do need is a little relief from the one that you have. Often relief comes from, and this is, I will tell you, as a master, I'm a master certified coach. I am fixing to teach other people how to be master level coaches. And I run my own certificate program for weight loss to teach coaches how to coach weight loss at a no BS masterful level. And I will give you my secret to all of it. Most of the time I see a thought that runs through my head, I do not change it. I do not hate on it. I don't do anything other than going, yep, that's what I'm thinking right now. Just knowing that's what I'm thinking takes it from being real and true to just what I'm thinking. And when I use that thought, that's just what I'm thinking right now, I can move along with my day. I can keep doing the things that I put on my plan. So like if I think this morning, if y'all don't know, I have a cold. So I don't want everybody to think I got the COVID. I do not have COVID. But usually this time of year, I don't know if it's technically a cold. It's probably more sinusy. But Logan and I get some kind of head shit this time of year, every single year. And of course, this is my week. And I have a lot of calls today and I'm teaching. And I woke up this morning and the first thing I thought is, this is going to be a terrible day. That was like literally the first thing my brain offered up to me. And I woke up late. This was what was crazy. I slept really good last night, but I woke up late. I didn't have my alarm set. And so instead of thinking, oh, I slept great last night, I got a lot of rest, my brain was like, you know, today's going to be terrible. And so I just sat down with my coffee and I just said, yeah, my brain's thinking today's going to be terrible. And then I just went along with my normal journaling, my normal routine. I did it in 10 minutes. I didn't get the normal hour that I normally get. I did it in 10. I walked in the sunshine for 30 minutes at a slow pace and got ready. I did not need to believe today was going to be amazing. I did not need to believe anything other than my brain is just thinking it's going to be terrible. But I can just keep doing the things that I'm going to do. And that's it. And that helps a lot. So let's go back to the scale and some of the things that I want to cover for the scale. So let me put my glasses on. I do want to give y'all a couple of challenge reminders, though. We are at the end of the takedown, 2-pound takedown. October 1st is the final weigh-in. So you guys are going to get a survey sent to you. I want you all to participate in it. This survey is not only going to tell us as a group how much weight we ended up losing, but we're asking a few questions in there that are going to help us help you in future challenges and things that we're got on the plan for 2022. So we want all of you to do it. We're going to be giving away prizes. So there's going to be some physical prizes. There's going to be some digital prizes. So if you just fill out the survey, it will be super helpful for us and super beneficial for you because you can get some stuff. I don't want you to just be sitting around only like reporting in when things go perfect. A lot of you did so well this month. A lot of you killed it. A lot of you use this as a, like, this is your jam. Like when you hit a challenge, you're like, oh, this gets me focused and all the things. For some of you, you think like, oh, what I'd need is a fresh restart and this will be exciting. And we get all excited in the beginning and then we kind of peter out. And for those of you who did that, I want you to finish, which means I'm going to do this differently this time. Rather than waiting for the next shiny object, I'm going to finish this one. I'm going to do the survey. I'm going to just believe that I did the challenge, and here's what I learned about myself. Because this is the thing about challenges. This is the thing about your, like when you make your 24-hour plan. I think a lot of you think of them as they have rules and they don't. I was listening to a call from one of my really dear friends who's also a master coach, Rachel Hart. A lot of you know who Rachel Hart is. She is the she does drinking coaching. She has a great podcast called Take a Break. Real good friend of mine. She's also behind the scenes hilarious. You would never know it listening to her, but like she is very funny behind the scenes. But anyway, so I was actually listening to Rachel coach this morning, someone, and she said that like when it comes to like our 24-hour plans and when it comes to like, you know, like the challenge and stuff, a lot of times we get stuck into thinking that there's a lot of rules. There's no rules. Everything is a tool. Like if the 24-hour plan and the challenge is a tool that we use to help you figure out what thinking you still need to work on, what works and what doesn't work in your life right now. And I think that's important for all of you to embrace, especially when it comes to developing a relationship with the scale, because your scale is a tool that gives you feedback. It says either keep doing what you're doing or take a look at what you're doing and start figuring out what needs to change. That's really all the scale is doing for us. Even if you're in maintenance, the scale is just giving you a number. It's just like me. I'm in maintenance. When I weigh in, I still have to watch out for thoughts. I still am like listening to all kinds of things. And I've talked to you guys about using it as a thought reveal. Because the scale and what you weigh, it's just a tool to convince you to examine your life. And so, like, let's say you're maintaining in the range that you want to maintain and you weigh in, you want to make sure that you use that as a tool to look at what you're doing right and to celebrate yourself. Because what a lot of us in maintenance do is we use, like, we'll weigh in our range and we'll use it as a tool against ourselves. Well, we got lucky this week. Well, I just hope I can stay here. It's good for now, but you know the holidays are coming. Like, all of you, when you get on the scale this Friday and you weigh, or is it Friday? I believe it's Friday, but on October 1st, when you weigh in for the 2-pound takedown, I want you to listen to what you think. I don't want you to change it. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to believe it. I just want you to hear it. And I just want you to tell yourself, this is what my brain thinks when I get on the scale. This is its default. That's good to know. Because what I would love for you to do is to take that information that your brain offers up and use it to figure out, in these moments, how do I want to think about myself? What else could this number be telling me? For some of you, if it's a bunch of shitty thoughts, you need to challenge yourself to say, like, but what else could the number be telling me? Especially for those of you who weigh in and you'll lose like a half a pound, 0.4. Like, a lot of scales will be 0.4 because they don't do odd numbers. And so for some reason, I swear to God, I've watched people do this before. It's like, if the scale had said 0.5, like, you would have allowed yourself different thoughts, but because it says 0.4, it's like not losing anything. Like, we do these crazy thought acrobatics to ourselves all the time, and it's ridiculous. So I want you to weigh in. I want you to listen. And then I want you to ask yourself, what else could this also mean about me? And look for some of the good. So even if you gained, what else could that gain mean about you? I'm willing to finish the challenge. I'm all in on rebuilding the relationship with myself. And it starts with sometimes looking at numbers that I have said I don't want to see. Because at the end of the day, the number is not causing you your pain. Your thoughts about your numbers do. And even if the number gets lower, if you don't teach yourself that you are in control of your mind, the number will always be in control. So even if you lose all of your weight and you have some better thoughts, the old ones will creep back in. Insecurities will creep back in. It will get replaced with new insecurities. So rather than thinking I'm out of control with food, let's say you weigh in and like, or then at the end you weigh, like you weigh in and you know, you've gotten to your maintenance weight. You might not think I'm out of control with food, but you may think, well, in order to stay here, I have to be so strict with my food. Because if I eat something, I'll probably be out of control. That's why I tell you, we have to, like, in the beginning, you have to learn how to redefine the way you think around your weight, because it just morphs into similar fears said in a new way with new numbers. None of you want to lose your weight so that you can sit around thin and terrified you can't stay there. No one wants to lose their weight sitting around thin and worried about everything they put in their mouth. We have this delusion that we'll be so happy with our number that somehow all of that won't happen. That just doesn't happen. The way that the brain works, I was listening to a book yesterday. It's called, I think it was from the book Indistractable. But there's like these four ways the brain works and whatever. And one of the things that the way the brain works is, and for everyone who's ever lost weight, you'll know. It adjusts to its new normal. So you can dream all of your life to get your weight off. That's what I did. Like, I just wanted to lose weight so bad. all my life. And I will tell you, I have been at this weight for 15 years. And I still, to this day, have bad body image days. My 250-pound self would have told you that life here would be so much better than life there. I don't think it's better. I think it's different. And I think this is the thing. The reason why life was so bad at 250, I blamed my weight for that. I blamed other people. I blamed my past. You know what was also sitting right there at 250? A husband who loved me like no other. Friends that cared about me. There was so much good in my life at 250. I just didn't see it. I refused to see it because everything hinged on my weight. My allowance of how I thought about myself made 250 miserable. I could have been 250 pounds and had days that I woke up excited to see my husband's face. Chris has not changed. There were just so many things that I could have been doing at 250, and I could have still lost my weight, but I didn't have to lose it by hitting a rock bottom and all this other kind of shit. Like, I think back on it, and this is the one gift I want to give to most of you. The reason why I know I'm able to keep my weight off is because what I learned is that I had to get to the point to where when I was weighing in my 200s, that I was not beating myself up. I was encouraging myself. I was being compassionate. I was cheerleading for the first time. Like, the reason why I was able to lose the weight, and the reason I've been able to keep it off, is because of exactly what I teach you guys. I had like a moment of clarity where it was like, I've got to come at this from love. Like, coming at it from hate all the time and dismissing everything that's good around me because of my number, that's what kept me at 250. Sitting around all day long, self-loathing about my weight, thinking that Chris, you know, there's like, I would sit and think, what a burden I was on Chris. He deserved such a better wife. It's no wonder I wanted to eat my way through my days. So it's always going to come back to those thoughts. So for all of you, make sure you finish it this time. Get on that scale. Use it as a thought reveal. Figure out, what does my brain say when I get on the scale? And just notice it. Even if you don't change it, just say, this is what my brain has to offer today. This is just what my brain is telling me about the number. And today, here's how I'm going to show up for myself. Not from self-loathing, but here's how I'm going to show up for myself today, because I can. All right. And then also, when you, on Friday morning at 8 a.m. Central Time, for all of you, Coach Judith is going to be doing a live call. She's going to be helping you navigate your thoughts around how you finished the challenge and what the results were and stuff. So you can always join her there, or you can watch the replay. And we're going to do a big look back on Saturday on the monthly planning. That call is going to be at Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. We're going to do the monthly planning and assessment. So we'll take a look at the back of the month, see what we learned. We've been doing these for a few months now, and then we're going to like plan for the next month. All right. A lot of next month is going to be about the holidays. We'll be kicking everything off on October 10th. So the first weekend of October will be all about Transformation Weekend for all of you who are coming. For those of you who are not coming, never fear. We got a bajillion replays. You got all the courses inside of No BS. Coaches will still be answering questions and ask coaches. Community team will still be in the Facebook, and so will the rest of the community. We just will not have calls starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week because we will be at camp with over 2,000 of you right now. So the other thing I want to say is it is not too late to register. We are mailing out the swag all the way up until I believe Monday or Tuesday of next week. But if you want to come, you could still get your swag in time for camp if you get registered ASAP, but you need to get registered ASAP. All right, let's do this. So let me go over a few things about the scale that I want to cover, and then I'm going to take a few questions. Number one is you've got to find success independent of the scale. So what does that mean? A lot of you are sitting around all the time, only allowing yourself to feel good about your journey based upon the scale. Now, this is my opinion on the scale. It is a great tool. I don't think it's a bad tool. I don't think it's a sometimey tool. I don't think it's anything. I just always believe the scale is a great tool. And here's why. Because I believe when we weigh in, it allows us to listen to the most important relationship we probably have, which is the one with ourselves. Like really, when you think about the scale, it isn't telling you much about everybody else. It's telling you about what you default think first and foremost about yourself. So that is one reason why it is such a great tool. It uncovers old shitty thoughts, default thinking, unconscious beliefs. It does so much for us. What most of you do, though, is you think, yeah, but when I weigh in, I feel bad. And so you stop weighing in thinking that if I'm not weighing in, I won't feel bad. When you weigh in, if you feel bad, remember, it's always because you have a thought about it. So if you want to speed up self-love, compassion, understanding, weight loss, allow yourself to get used to weighing in once a week, listening for what you naturally think, and then tracking over time, is my relationship with myself changing because of my daily creating a 24-hour plan and thinking about my whys and thinking about my actions, my journaling. Like, it is a great way to kind of track how your relationship with your body and yourself is changing, because your thoughts should change over time, especially if you are working on them. So it's a great tool for that, but it's not the only one. So I like to think of the scale as that. And then I like to think about when it comes to weight loss, what are all the other ways that we can be finding success? So, because, and this is key, because sometimes, like if you're like me, we did a call last week on stalls and plateaus. I had a really rough period at one point where the scale wasn't moving and I was literally doing all the things, like probably doing all the things and then some. Anything that I thought I could do, I was doing it. And the scale was stuck for about 6 weeks because my body was adjusting. My body was doing all kinds of adjusting. So if I only was relying on the scale as a tool of success, I was hosed. You know, because every week I'd get on there. If like in order for me to think this is working, I needed the scale to go down, it, you know, then it wasn't going to happen. So what I had to do is I had to also have other indicators. For some of you, that can be clothes. For some of you, it can be pictures. For some of you, it can be your habits. Like a lot of you are really good about tracking your habits and using those as indicators of success. Noticing like, all right, if I normally overeat every single night at dinner, this week, my goal is to not overeat two times at dinner. The rest of the time is like, I'm going to stop it where I normally do. But my goal this week is two times. And so like using that as an indicator of success, like setting micro goals and tracking them and then building upon those. So just looking for other ways. And then I think taking like your health markers is important for a lot of you. So I know that we have, there's a huge amount of people inside the membership who are in the 55 plus subgroup. And for a lot of times, like I know this has been important for my mom, you know, like at my age, I'm 47. So at my age, there's a few things that I'm starting to track, like health wise. Like I've noticed that, you know, I got to really get good sleep. I used to be able to work out and cheat my sleep and stuff. That is not the case anymore. If my sleep is cheated, like I can't work out like a behemoth like I like to. So some of my health markers are changing. But as you get older, those things become really important. You know, they just take on more importance. So I think figuring out some health markers and setting those as goals and those as things that you want to change, I think are excellent goals that give you just more points to be able to figure out what would be, you know, like something rewarding for you. So that's what I want you all to think about, is that when we're losing weight, although the scale is a great tool and a convenient one, there are lots of ways that we have to measure our success. And it's really important that you're finding all of these things, because like in the moments when the scale's not cooperating, you're going to want these other indicators to kind of balance the scale out a little bit. It's like, all right, this one's not moving. And sometimes we just like, you know, our habit brain's like, I'm disappointed and I wish it would. And it's like over here. But I also know that these things are changing. So what it does is when you have more points, you have areas that can give you patience in another area. And I've always told you guys, one of the most important things when it comes to weight loss, a skill that we need is patience. We need patience on figuring out our hunger cues. We need patience on on stalls and plateaus. We need patience with ourselves when our thoughts aren't changing as fast as we wish they would. Patience is the unsung hero, the unsung skill of weight loss. Also, just remember that your weight loss is not supposed to happen in a perfect line. It just isn't. You're going to, like, for those of you who weigh daily, you're supposed to see the ebb and flow. For those of us who weigh weekly, as we go down the scale, you're going to notice this. We've had loads of people post inside of No BS. If you don't know, there's an app called Happy Scale. It's a great app. And so what it does is it's a scale app where you weigh in. It tracks your progress, but it shows you like your trends and stuff, but it also gives you like markers that help you stay positive and motivated. So if you have, it's a free app. I would suggest anyone use it. We have a lot of people who will post their trend line over 20 to 100 pounds that they've lost. I've never seen one that just slopes down like a ski slope. Everybody's always looks like a wave going down. So if you understand that not every week you're supposed to lose equally, then it helps you that when you don't, to say, oh, let me look at what went on this week. Did I follow through? Did I do the things I said I would? And this is the trick for all of you. If you did, the real challenge in weight loss is believing you're on track because of your behaviors, not because of what the scale says. I watch so many of you throw away an amazing week of you showing up, all because the scale doesn't say what you want it to. And you throw away the actions. You throw away the do line. I'm going to give you all a secret. No fucking body loses weight without doing things. That's just how it works. But just because you do things doesn't mean the scale will show it on your expected timeline. Sometimes a great week takes 14 days to show up on the scale because of homeostasis, because of physiology. But the only reason why you get fed up, discouraged, and off track is because you allow yourself to think some shit about it. It is not that it's not working. It's that you're thinking it's not working versus looking at what you did and deciding this shit will work. This is a week I work on patience. This is not a week that I work on slot machine mentality, which is I pulled the lever, I put in my money, where's my mega jackpot? So you have to be patient. And you have to remember those things. So the scale is not going to go down in a straight line, and it's not going to go down on your expected timeline every single time. You won't get so hosed if you stop thinking the number is what is creating all of your feelings. The number does not create your feelings. It doesn't even create the thoughts. Your habit brain might have some thoughts, but at the end of the day, you get the last word. And that is what most of you forget, is that it does not matter what your brain thinks. It does not matter what it offers. If you want the last word in the conversation, you have a conscious brain that gets to decide that. You get to decide that thought doesn't matter. You get to decide I don't act from that thought. You get to decide I'm disappointed, but I'm moving forward anyway. You get to decide anything you want. But what most of you do is you have a shitty thought and you decide, yeah, that's true. Or you decide to run from the thought, get angry with the thought. Always be looking at ways in which you can take your power back. All right. And then if you're obsessing over the scale, here's my advice to you. You've got to learn to love your lifestyle and what you do. Most of you, what you're doing is you're trying to lose weight and you're so focused on the number and you're keeping the number the top priority that you're forgetting to fall in love with the process. Those of you that fall in love with the process of weight loss and the new lifestyle you're creating, you will keep your weight off. That is what happened with me. I did not sit around and think, I have to do this. I should be eating things. I did not rush myself, because what I was realizing that to feel better took thinking better in the small moments each day, which meant I didn't have to sit and feel anxious and worried about how long it was going to take to lose weight, because I was already feeling better now. I was telling myself things I remember going to IHOP. I remember the first time that we went to IHOP and I got an omelet and I got whole wheat toast instead of pancakes. Y'all would have thought a fucking confetti gun should go off. I had already weaned myself off. I'd gotten to where I was eating so when I would normally go, I would just get like the big ass meat lover's omelet, stack of pancakes, strawberry syrup, and the butter, did all the things. I finally had gotten to where I was going and I had cut out the butter because I was like, well, if I have all this syrup, I really probably don't need to like slather butter all over it too. Then I got to where I was using less syrup. And then I noticed that because I was like weaning off of always having so much sugar in my mouth that the pancakes were pretty fucking sweet. I was like, I don't even think I need syrup. Like these things taste like little cakes. And so then I was just eating them, you know, that way. Then I started making tweaks on my omelet and doing all those things. And then one day I was sitting there thinking, I am going to get, like I was already at a veggie omelet at this point. I was like, I don't even think I need the pancakes today. I'm getting whole wheat toast. This is what I'm doing. And I did it. And I was so proud of myself. Now, what a lot of you do is you think, well, you shouldn't be eating those pancakes because they're full of sugar. So let's just get some toast because that's healthy. That's what we should do. That right there doesn't feel amazing. Feels okay. Maybe it gives you some direction, but it kind of has this like skeezy little feeling of like, I can't have those. Like you're taking things away from yourself. I wasn't doing that. I sat there and I just really was like weighing it out and thinking, I don't even think I need them. I think today I'll be okay with just whole wheat toast. I'm going to see what that's like. And when I had it and I realized that I didn't die, guess what? I rewarded myself mentally. I was telling myself, you're really changing. Look at you. You're making such good decisions for yourself. That's very different from the same version of me that used to try to do those things. I would go and I would tell myself all the things I shouldn't be eating. I would be out of control if I ate pancakes. Like there was a version of me that went in tensed up and anxious. And sometimes I would make the same decisions. But guess what? I wouldn't leave there feeling proud. I would leave there feeling like I escaped the clutches of death. There's a big difference between walking out and being proud and noticing your improvements because you're cheerleading yourself, and you're talking great to yourself, between the version of you that walks out feeling like we just escaped getting killed. And so it's really important that when we're talking about weight loss, that you fall in love with your process. And love is a feeling. Guess where the feeling of love with your process is going to come? From your thoughts. Your process, the things that you do to lose weight, are going to be up here. And you need to think about them. What are you telling yourself about your 24-hour plan every day? Are you telling yourself you have to do it? Or are you telling yourself, I'm learning to do this because it gets my mind right each day? Whether I follow it or not, I'm at least giving myself a chance to do some shit different than I did yesterday. Like, what do you tell yourself about the process, the journey of your weight loss? Like, if it's riddled with, it's hard for me, all those kinds of things, every one of those are thoughts that you've got to start getting more and more aware of how often you think them, because when they're unconscious, they just feel like they're true. That it's not the way you're choosing to think. I know for sure there ain't a single bitch listening to this right now that has a more broken mindset around weight loss than I did the day that I strolled up and decided I was going to lose some weight. I had to unwind all of it. And you know what? I didn't even have me pointing out busted thinking. I didn't have me telling me that, you know, your thinking is the real problem. I had to figure all that out. So if I can do it organically on my own and lose weight, I'm pretty sure that your weight loss is not as hard as you're making it out to be. Because you're thinking about how hard it is versus thinking, wow, all I got to do is uncover my thoughts. They're not bad. Everybody's got them. They're real normal. I'm just glad I'm listening now. Like, that's the stuff we got to think about. And so you've got to love the journey. So if love is part of it, that means there's two ways to look at it. Love is going to be the feeling. We've got to figure out how to like, love, look forward to, enjoy, whatever, the things that we're doing to lose our weight. That starts with our thinking. We also have the things that we're going to do down here. They need to come from love in order to do them. If you're going to stop eating it enough, guess what? You can't be thinking all day long, I'm out of control with food. I don't do well with stopping at enough. I suck at leaving food behind. None of that generates love for the process. None of that encourages you stopping at enough. It just wears you out. Show love for the process if you allow yourself to think shit like that all day long. But if you're going to stop it enough and you're going to feel love, you got to have thoughts about that all day long. Not, I suck at stopping. I'm learning to listen. Very different. It's going to take some time to unwind my habit. And that's okay. I'll work on it. It's one meal at a time. There's 1,000 thoughts about enough that would drive you to stopping at enough a lot easier than walking in to your dinner anxious, worried, and feeling defeated before you even begin. So we're going to fall in love with the process. And then just remembering that that scale is just that one piece of feedback. Your habits, your habit tracker, the things that you're doing, they're also feedback. And the last thing I want to say on this, and I was thinking about this last night for all of you, you know, falling in love with the process is all about figuring out the small ways to win. A lot of you have a hard time giving yourself credit for your wins because you're just like, well, I don't deserve to feel good about it, or I don't want to feel good about it until I lose X amount of pounds or unless these things are happening. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't enjoy the small wins, if you can't enjoy your small losses on the scale, if you can't enjoy the tiny things, you will not teach your brain how to enjoy the big ones either. The way we get there is by learning how to talk to ourselves differently. And the way that we get there is by learning how to find as much success as we can. We have to be telling ourselves we're on track because of this. Like some of you are sitting here right now, like you're listening to this call. You won't have followed a 24-hour plan for a while. Maybe you've given up on making them. Maybe you're just listening to me all the time and you're not really taking a lot of action. And you'll want to use that as an excuse to be like, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me, Corinne. I'm not really doing anything. You can either think, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing all the things. I'm only doing these things. And you can feel disempowered. That is your choice. And when you feel disempowered, I want you to think about what are the things that you do each day. Like one big thing that a lot of you will do is, well, I'll listen to Corinne's stuff and then I'll give equal airtime to my excuses and justifications as to why she's wrong because my life isn't set up that way. I'm too busy. We allow ourselves on the do line to ruminate about our obstacles. We allow ourselves to ruminate about our past and how many diets we have failed. We allow ourselves on the do line to make the things that we're not doing a way bigger fucking deal than they actually are. And when we do all that, we're not doing a plan. We're not convincing ourselves to take a step forward. If you're listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, you do not have to think you're not doing enough. You do not have to think any of that stuff. You can think, I'm listening to Corinne, and I can pull one thing today to do. What's the easiest one? When you think, I'm listening, guess what? You feel empowered. And when we feel empowered, guess what we end up doing? We're not ruminating anymore. We're asking good questions. What could I do today? What's one thing I could try? What's something that I did yesterday that I could do a little better today? Our do line becomes a lot of trying. It's like, well, I kind of been sitting here listening to Corinne and stuff. When I'm no longer beating myself up, maybe I will make a 24-hour plan. Maybe my goal will be for the next month to make plans. I don't have to even follow them, but I want to get into the habit of making a plan and answering the questions. I just want to see if even doing that changes anything for me. What will it hurt? What could it improve? That's why the thinking is so powerful. And that's why I wanted to talk about it today, because I think that when you think about your scale and what you weigh, it allows you to see that relationship. It allows you to look at the relationship you have with the things that you do here in No BS. It allows you to look at so many different things. Okay. Let me see if there's any questions here that I need to answer. Otherwise, we're going to get out of here because I'm going to need to go blow my nose and I don't want to do it on camera. Should our goal not be the same every day, week, or month? I want to meet my goal that I set. It doesn't matter. Your goals are for yourself. That's one of those things you just ask yourself the question, what goal do I want? It doesn't have to be the same. It can be different. Just like when it comes to the holidays, one of the things that we'll be teaching you in handling the holidays is a lot of times people deliberately choose to just maintain through the holidays. They really don't want to be trying to lose weight. And rather than being frustrated and like, I'm trying to lose weight, but I know damn well I really want to eat these things. I really want to do these things. What they do is they set an intention to maintain through the holidays. We have some people that are always okay with gaining a little weight in the holidays. They just do it in a they keep planning. They keep doing all their stuff. They don't leave the core habits. They just execute in a different way so that they can teach their brain, like, they're always truly in control. So you can always have different things. I am just a few days before my period and I gained my typical water bloat. What are some thoughts I could have that will help me stay consistent with 2 pound takedown this week, knowing that next week I'll have a water dump and see my overall success? I would use the thought that you just had. You don't need my brain, Candace. You need your brain, which is, this is my typical water gain bloat. It always happens. It's not a big deal. I'll lose weight next week. That'll be great. That's it. Like, that's all I would do. And what is the harm? Like, what is the harm in my 2 pound takedown goal happens next week because of my period over this week because of a water dump? There's no harm. There's no harm unless you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but I set a goal and I didn't achieve it. And like, when you make it mean, like, that must mean I'm a failure. It must mean like whatever it is that we go into. It's like, no, you could just look at it and say, like, my habits are in place. I always gain 2 pounds. It's not a big deal. It'll be gone next week. Just got to keep doing the shit I do. Another day. Somebody said they ordered the purse size planner and there doesn't seem to be a monthly assessment. You can go to the website where the planner is and you can print off the monthly assessment. The purse size planner, there's just a few things that aren't in the purse size planner that are in the, well, I don't know. Are you talking, Kathy, you may be talking about the monthly assessment we do on the call this weekend. That particular assessment is not in any of the planners. We designed that one because one of the things that I wanted to do was come up with a different, we're testing it for a few months because we always rewrite the planner about once every year to 18 months. We'd like make some changes based on what's working. So we're testing some new stuff before we do a rewrite of the planner. For all of you, that new planner will not come out until fall of 2022. So do not be like, oh, I'm not going to like order me a planner until they make the changes. I know how y'all shitty brains work. Bitch, no. We're not going to sit around and not make a plan for a year waiting on the planner to come out. You can use this one, just like the people before you used the other version, just like the people before you used another version. This is the third or fourth version of this planner. And guess what? People lost weight on every single one of them. That planner and its update ain't gonna change anything. If you're determined, you'll be determined. The survey will go out to everyone in email. Last question. I had a goal of getting 125 since April. I hit it. I'm currently now 120. Good for you, Anonymous. I don't know how long I can get to, how low I can get, to be honest. I never thought I would be this low. Right now, I'm just focusing on doable hunger. I do overeat a few times a week based on data. Is there something wrong with not having a goal? What if my goal is to continue my do goals and see what happens? Is that okay? Yeah, that's perfect. You don't have to have a weight goal. Like you've already proven to yourself you can hit a weight goal. Now just spend some time on like, now I'm going to really focus on do goals. Because do goals, all of you, the things that you do are the, like, eventually is the result on the scale. So I don't think there's a problem with that at all. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Go blow my nose. Thank you, everyone. I will see y'all this weekend. Hope you have an amazing week. Please don't forget to register for camp. I do not like, it is such a good one. I swear to God, it's so good. This is one that's going to be a game changer for a lot of you because we are going to teach you how to be that empowered hero of your life. And if you want information about it, go to nobswomen.com, log in and go to the events tab. There's videos. I will show you the swag you get. We have Q&As. We tell you what we're talking about that weekend, everything that's going to be happening. And even if you can't attend live, it does not matter. About 10 to 15% of our people that sign up, they don't do it live. They get camp so that they can do it on their own. We've even given you a guide for how to DIY your replays so that you can watch it later at your convenience. And when you come to camp, You will get those replays in about 2 weeks, and they are yours for as long as you're a member of No BS. So we have lots of people right now before this camp who've been to our other camps. They're redoing previous camps that they've done to kind of just get into that whole mindset. So I hope as many of you as possible can come. It's an amazing experience. We put on an amazing show. You will not be bored. It's a very big production. It's about $750,000 for us to even do the virtual experience now. So for all of you coming virtual, just want to tell you, we roll out the red carpet. You do not need to sit there and think you're going to be in some boring ass Zoom room. It is anything but. So, all right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.